In the second century AD, there was a Roman poet named Juvenal, and he wrote his sixth satire. And during this, in the satire, he was describing a perfect wife as a rare bird on this earth in the very likeness of a black swan. I think clearly the point that he's making is that a perfect wife is a very rare, difficult thing to find, and something that is even impossible. And in fact, his point as he goes on in this poem is to say that a perfect wife is not even something that's desirable. He'd rather have some imperfections, which is great. But that's all beside the point. What I wanted to bring up this sentence about a rare bird, a black swan, is about the what that began. That began the use of this metaphor of a black swan, and especially in Europe, being used as describing something that doesn't exist, something that's impossible to even conceive of having the possibility of occurring. Now, this poem, as I mentioned, was written in the second century, and throughout history in Europe, especially until the 17th century, people believed that a black swan simply did not exist. That was until, of course, Dutch explorers had traveled all the way to Australia and found, in fact, black swans swimming around. To their shock and surprise. But until that discovery, of course, that metaphor of a black swan described something that was absolutely improbable, something that would not exist. The title of my sermonette today is Against the Odds. And these black swans, as I'm using as this metaphor, describe something that go against the odds. Now, the odds that a black swan could possibly exist were laughable throughout that point in history, until they were observed on the other side of the globe. There was no way that anyone could have predicted that these types of birds could even exist. But in fact, they do. They happen to be common, in fact. But in retrospect, it's quite easy to see how it is possible, because our thinking has been transformed to understand a different set of variables that might lead to the type of prediction of black swans being possible. Brethren, when we talk about our future as glorified members of God's family, or when we talk about the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth, which will supplant all governments that currently exist, we see another proposition that the world believes is far-fetched. To bring these truths to the world and say that this is going to happen is preposterous to many people who try to figure out how. The current way of thinking of this world states that these are crazy ideas, black swans, if you will. They could not possibly happen. But as you and I know, that these are truths that the Bible says will happen. The Bible says that people will be caught off guard by the return of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of his plan. They will be just probably even more shocked at that point in time than they were that the fact that black swans are in existence and common. But the Bible says that the ways of this world are enmity with the ways of God. The world may say that the odds are against the truth, but we know better. Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew 7, and I'd like to read verses 13 through 14. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 13. I'm in Mark. Bear with me in one more second. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Here we see how the common ways of life in this world are easy to follow. That's where the majority will place their bets. But these are not the ways that please God. If we want to find the path to salvation, we cannot rely on the world telling us which way to go. Those who are setting the odds on how to succeed don't read this passage. Only those who are willing to put forth the effort to seek out the truth and to have the courage to live by that truth are the ones who will find salvation. And these are the few. These are the small number and those calculations of probability. Today, when we compare how many people who will follow the way of the world with the number of those who follow the way of the truth, there's a huge imbalance. The Bible tells us that right here. And that will continue to be the case until the point in time when Jesus Christ returns. Let's go over to Matthew 22, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 14. Here we read about the wedding feast. About that time, as a parable, when Jesus Christ returns, I guess it's broadly describes that kind of scenario. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all the things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, and few are chosen.'" In this parable of the wedding feast, we learn about many people who were invited to this wedding. The correlation is that many people have had exposure to the truth and even had the opportunity to live by it, to use it to change their lives, but have failed to do so. And the point that Jesus Christ makes is that there are few who honor that calling and choose to do something with it. Just a few. Turn with me over to John 6, and I'd like to read verses 66 through 69. John 6. Verses 66 and through 69. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more," with Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Here we see an example, again, of many people who were exposed to the teachings of Jesus Christ and had the chance to hear those teachings from his mouth directly. And yet, these people, the many, the majority of people, turned away. They did not want to hear it. These are those who did not believe the long odds of the truth. The long odds, you and I know, are according to how the world sets those odds. How could these teachings of Jesus Christ possibly be true, is the question that they were asking. They didn't believe it. They didn't follow. Yet the disciples found no other choice but to continue on. And this is the mentality that you and I need to have. We need to be unfazed by the odds that the world will set against the truth. It should mean absolutely nothing to us, because we know better. We know and believe that there is no other way to go. Going through these scriptures so far, we can see that the few are the ones who have some knowledge and have insight to do something with the teachings that they hear and they learn. Now, what makes these few people fortunate enough to be counted among the few? Are they just lucky? Are you and I playing a game of chance where we are the underdog, unlikely to win, stupidly choosing to go against the odds? Is it luck? What are our odds of winning? Do we have long odds, really? Well, the answer is no. Still in John 6, let's go back to verse 44 and learn a little bit more about what God thinks our odds are. John 66 and verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." God needs to draw us to him, and then we can truly begin to transform our lives. Even those who are exposed to the truth and hear the words may not be called to do something with it yet. They will, but not yet, not necessarily. There are few who are chosen today, but they are not the lucky ones. Those are the ones who are selected by God individually to win. When God calls us and we take action on that, when he draws us to him, he is saying, "You are selected to win. You will win. In fact, the odds that the world will set against you are nothing. You will win as long as you don't give up on me," is what God says. I'll cite a verse for you from Philippians 1 and verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." God is working in our lives right now. He will not give up on us as long as we don't give up on him. We are not subject to the odds that the world will set. In that way, we are truly against the odds. Let's go over to Romans 8 and read verses 28 through 30. And we can see how this all fits together. Romans 8 and verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. The ones who are privileged to be called out of the world at this time, those chosen ones by God to live by the truth, are predestined. God calls, he has a job, a purpose in mind for you and I before we have even been born. What are your odds? We can't walk away from this prize. We have been given an opportunity. It is certain in the eyes of God as long as we don't give up on him. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that it feels pretty good to be playing against these odds that the world sets against us. Especially because these odds that are set against us just don't apply. We have confidence and faith in God that he will see us through all of the difficulties and trials that we face and live and work against in this world. We live by the truth. And there was no other way to go. This is our way. Now, as long as we continue to abide in the truth that we have been handpicked to receive, we cannot lose against any odds.